here we go. Into our message. We're in week 5 of And to All a Good Fight. We've been talking about how we can fight the good fight for the true faith and how sometimes that can be difficult, but how important that is in our lives and in our world and our communities. We've been looking at 1 Timothy 16 or 6:12a, which says, fight the good fight for the true faith. Fight the good fight for the true faith. And sometimes we kind of forget, or it's easy for us to forget, that maybe we don't need to fight, or maybe we're fighting, but we're fighting for the wrong things. As Paul is writing to kind of his protege, Timothy, he's saying, hey, listen, there's a fight that has to be fought, but you need to make sure you're fighting the right fight for the right things in the right way. And in a lot of ways, that's what we've been kind of looking at over the last several weeks. Of course, last week, Linda led worship, and Don spoke, shared with us about the Gideons, did a great job. Both of them did a great job, so thank you so much, guys, for that. But this morning, we're going to kind of jump back into our series And All to a Good Fight. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you. God, we thank you so much for all that you are and all that you're doing. And God, now, as we turn to your word, God, I pray that you would open our hearts to what you desire to communicate to us this morning. You're so good, and we trust and know that you have a desire to change us. Not that you don't love us the way we are, not that you didn't love us the way we walked in here, but you love us so much that you want to continue this work in our hearts and our lives. And so, Father, I pray that we're open to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'm getting older every single day. And I know that's tough to remember, but it is really happening. And it's happening in a lot of ways. And one of the ways is because so much of our world today is different from when I was a kid. And I know that's been the way that it has been over millennium. You know, I'm sure like at Jesus's time, you know, Joseph looked at Jesus and went, you know, when I was your age, you know, that sort of thing. But I feel like for some reason, and maybe this is something normal, I don't know, I've never been this old before, I've never looked back on my child, this is my first time through this situation, but it seems like, at least for me, things are a lot different from when I was growing up. And maybe it's just the technology, maybe it's all the cell phones, maybe it's all the different types of things that we have now. But I just think back to maybe a simpler time in my life, and one of the simpler moments that I tend to remember was Saturday morning cartoons. You remember those? Man, those were great. Man, you'd get up, you know, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., it didn't matter how late you stayed up. You'd go into the kitchen. You'd open up, at least in my house, maybe you were different, but in my house, when you open up the pantry, and there at the top of the pantry were about 14 different types of cereal that their contents was like maybe 1% corn, wheat, or something like that, and 99% sugar. I didn't have to drink coffee as a child. I just ate a bowl of cereal every morning. It would do the trick, and I would look up at all my choices. And I would get a box down, and here's the deal, I don't know if you remember this, typically the boxes were already somewhat tainted because there was a toy inside, and me and my brother and my sisters would stick our grubby little hands down in the box to find the toy. Didn't care. And we'd get us a bowl and sit it down there, and we'd go down and we'd sit in front of the TV, which, by the way, was the size of a small block. Not a building block, a city block. We turn on the television, and there we would be entertained with hour after hour of cartoons. And I remember one of them in particular was basically the Bugs Bunny cartoons, and I believe they would come on ABC every morning, or at least Saturday morning. And I would sit there and watch, and I would be entertained with all the characters and all those sort of things. And I remember as a kid, one that I always enjoyed the stories, was Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam. You remember Yosemite Sam? Had the big, long, you know, and he was, that varmint, you know, and he would talk like that. I didn't practice that. That was off the cuff, so, you know. But typically, you know, Yosemite Sam was kind of a Western guy, had the guns on his hips and all that sort of stuff. And I just remember, like, there would be an episode or a cartoon, and Bugs Bunny would do something, and typically they would be in a saloon or something like that, and Bugs Bunny would say something. And he would make Yosemite Sam so mad, and he would say something like that. He would go, you know, varmint, them's fighting words. Typically, he'd pull out his six shooters. Bugs Bunny would stick his finger in it, and it would somehow blow back into his face. I mean, it just happened over and over again. But listen, as a six-year-old, that was high-class comedy. And I remember that, you varmint. Them's fighting words. And later, I got a little bit older, and I started to enjoy, and I've told you this before, and this is something Karen and I have in common. I started enjoying old westerns like Gunsmoke and those type, you know, the tales of Wells Fargo and all those sort of things. And you know what? Sometimes in those episodes, you maybe they wouldn't say those words, but you kind of got the gist. You know, like words turned into fights. And that if the words that you used were not the right words or the respectful words or the way that words should have been accepted or received, man, a fight would ensue. Them's fighting words. And I feel like it would be crazy in a lot of ways to not talk about, as we look at this idea of fighting and fighting the right way, if we're not willing to understand the weight of our words. Because the weight of our words is so huge and so massive. And sometimes we'll have moments where maybe we're sitting in a message or in a moment like this, and man, we begin to understand and remember what the scriptures have said. But the thing is, what I found with words and the weight of them is a lot of times we'll leave this place and forget the types of words that we use, the types of words that lead to so many issues and situations in our life. There is a weight to them. And as you look at Scripture, both the Old and the New Testament, the Bible talks about this a lot. It talks about the understanding of what our words can do and how they can affect situations and people and ourselves. And this morning, if we're going to talk about the idea of fighting a good fight, we need to understand the power and the weight that our words have in that realm. Look at Proverbs 18, 21. It says this, the tongue can bring death or life. Now, I want you to remember here that as we're seeing this proverb, as we're seeing this idea, we could have seen the writer here use any type of thing to describe the ability of what the tongue can do. And it's like they went to the absolute the ends of the spectrum. They basically said it can bring absolute death or it can bring absolute life. But they continue, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Our words are powerful, they have weight, and the thing that most of us sometimes forget, especially after we leave this place and go out into the world, is many of the battles we fight are being waged in the realm of words. Because here's the deal, okay? When you think about fighting and those types of ideas, I don't know about you, and we've kind of talked about it and used it kind of as an example over the last several weeks, but the idea of maybe a physical altercation. A couple weeks ago, I talked about my very first physical fight. But here's the deal. I could talk to you about thousands of verbal fights. I could talk to you about thousands of times where instead of speaking life over someone, I forgot the power that my words can have, and instead I spoke death. For some of you right now, you would never dream of getting in a physical altercation with someone, but you are in the midst of a battle and a war of words with people, and for some of you, it's gone on for decades. Things that have been said, things that you have said, and there is a fight and a battle that is raging. And maybe there are moments and there are times where there's a ceasefire. But the bottom line is this, man, when Thanksgiving comes around or Christmas comes around, the white flag has been lowered, the truce is over, and the battle begins anew. And here's what's interesting. We used to have this issue. I was talking about when I was a kid growing up with cartoons. We used to be able to get away with it or get away from it. I remember as a kid, you know, in school and things like this, you know, maybe you had a kid that was kind of picking on you or would say mean things to you. And you know what? I sometimes had that too. I think we all do in some way, shape, or form. And I remember you would go home at night, and you know what? Who wasn't there? That person saying those words. Maybe you could get to the summer, and you could have 2 or 3 months where you didn't have to deal with that person. Our world is so different now, it's almost there's no escape. Because you can get online and there are words. You get on X or Twitter or whatever they call that now and there are words. You get on Facebook and there are words. We're constantly in battle with our words. And here's the deal. When it comes to this, here's what I found. For most of us, we fall into one or two categories when it comes to understanding the weight of our words and how we handle words and all those things. First, it's those who talk too much. There are those who talk too much. And what I mean by that is not that maybe, you know, that you talk a lot, but that you don't put a lot of thought in the words you're saying. You have forgotten the weight of your words. And instead of talking little and thinking and pondering and praying before you speak, your mouth is kind of like a river. It just flows on out without thought of consequence. Without thought of what will come, what fruit will be reaped from it. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, well, I'm a talker. And I get that. But you can be a talker, hear me here, and not talk too much. A lot of this goes along with that idea that in some ways, some of us need to slow down. Maybe we need to take our hands off of the keyboard or off of the phone, think and pray and ponder about what we might be sending out towards people and not talk so much. So some of us talk too much. But here's the deal. There's another category, those that never speak. Those that never speak. Now again, maybe you are like me and we'll kind of go in and out of these two different things. But I've seen people that don't speak. And here's what happens. It's not that they don't speak or think about speaking. It's just that they hold it all inside. And so they'll internalize it and something will happen. Something needs to be said. Something needs to be said that's going to help and bring some healing. But instead, they just hold it in and they hold it in and they hold it in. And here's what I've learned about holding stuff in. Eventually, it's going to go boom. It's going to go boom. And when it does, man, there can be a lot of damage. But more than that, some of us are very much affected by those two groups. So maybe the first, you look at your life, and here's the deal. We're going to talk a little bit about the words that other people have said over us, but this morning, really what I want to talk about is the words that we say and the words that we can control, but I think we need to also talk about this part too, okay? But for some of us, we have been deeply hurt or deeply offended or deeply, we've been in a fight with something because of something someone has said. They said the wrong thing. They said the mean thing. They said the inconsiderate thing or whatever else. And it's very easy for us in those moments to try to, you know, like look at that and go, oh, man, that really hurts. And we can identify it. And I think that in some ways, though, at least as I'm getting older and experiencing more and more people, I'm starting to see there is something else that can be just as devastating as the words that are spoken over us. It's the words that are not spoken over us. I don't know how many times I have heard it, where I'll have somebody come to me and say, my father, my mother, my son, my daughter, whoever, my wife, they never told me they loved me. They never told me they were proud of me. They never told me this. They never told me that. Listen, here, it's in your notes. You need to get this. Some of us can literally quote the words that were never said that we wish had been said. You see, words are so powerful even when they're not spoken and we desire for them to be spoken. They can affect us. So it's not just the words that come out. Sometimes it's the words that aren't said that can be so devastating, that can bring battles in our hearts and our lives. I've literally had this happen in my life where someone is upset with me, and I have no idea why. And so finally, I'm like, help me understand. What did I do? What did I say? And their response is this: it's not what you did, it's not what you said, it's what you didn't do or what you didn't say. I'm going to be honest with you, man, that's a hard situation to be in. Because you're like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't say the right thing. See, I'm kind of one of those that talk too much. I'm typically on the side where I say the wrong thing. But for some of us, we're hurting. There's a battle raging in our world because there's things that haven't been said. And here's the deal. Some of us are in a very difficult position because those things that should have been said that were not said can only be spoken by those that are no longer here. They're in eternity. And here's the deal. As we kind of talked about earlier, whether it's something that someone said or something that someone didn't say, Jesus has the power and the authority and the ability and the willingness to heal your heart of it. Some of you are allowing that battle and you are fighting. You are literally in a boxing ring just flailing your arms at nothing because there's no one there to hit. And Jesus is saying, listen, it's time to get some healing from this. It's time to allow my goodness and my grace and my love and my forgiveness to wash over this situation in your life. And so I remind you of all of those things because I want you to remember how powerful and the weight behind your words. But not only do I want us to understand that and the battles that are raging, we also need to understand that the words that we use, that our words are the guidance system of our life. They are the guidance system of our life. And a lot of times, listen, when we talk about words, it's typically, we don't talk about this. Like we may even read the scripture that we're going to look at, but we forget how important our words are. Not just to others, but the words that we use when we are speaking to ourselves and looking at situations and circumstances. Listen, I know this may sound crazy. I know you may want to put me away for telling you this, but I'm going to be pretty honest with you. I spend a lot of time talking to myself. I spend a lot of time. There's a lot of nights where I should be sleeping, and in my mind, things are just going through, and I'm just talking to myself. And it's so easy to forget that where we're going really is guided by some of those words. Look what James says. James 3, 2 through 5. He's speaking here. He says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. I want to stop here for just a second, and I want you to catch something really quickly, and we're going to move on, okay? But listen to what James is saying here. Okay, some of us read that and we just go on, yes, we've all made mistakes. So James here is communicating to you and to me that we can actually do this with God's help. Did you realize that? Some of us say, oh, I'll never be able to control my tongue. Oh, I can never do this. I can never do that. I speak too much. I don't speak enough. Listen, James here is speaking and he's saying, like if this could happen with God's help, we can do this. Now, without it, no way, Jose. Not going to happen. But with God's help, we can actually do better in this area. So listen, look what he says in verse 3. He says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way. What's James doing here? He's giving some visual pictures so we can connect them with a spiritual principle. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. What is James wanting to get us to understand here? What is he wanting us to see? Something that is so small, something that is so insignificant, or at least we think is, can literally be the guidance system of our lives. It is the rudder. It is the bit. It is the small spark that can literally burn down acre after acre after acre. And some of us, we look at our lives and we go, boy, I don't like my life. I don't like my attitude. I don't like what's going on. I don't like the direction. And some of us spend a lot of time going, what am I going to do about it? God, what can I do? What needs to change in me? Listen, for some of us, the answer is that little thing in your mouth. It's your tongue. Listen, it's real simple. If you don't like the way you're going, change the way you're speaking. Have you ever thought about that? You see, some of us are speaking death and curses and issues and attitudes, and then we're shocked that our life is full of the same. God has given us a very clear understanding here. Listen, if you want your life full of life, speak life. If you want your life full of joy and peace and goodness and kindness and self-control, speak it out in your life. Because some of us, we speak death, we speak curses, we speak anger, we speak bitterness, we speak unforgiveness, and then we're shocked that our life is full of the same. It's the rudder, folks. It's that little thing that's guiding us on our path. And I've seen it over and over again in my life. When my words change, it seems like so many other things can change. Now listen, I'm not saying that in my life when I've all of a sudden had an issue or a problem and I've just been changed my words, all of a sudden it snaps and everything changes. But I know what does change. My heart changes, my attitude changes, my understanding changes, and my perspective changes. And you know what? Sometimes that's more important. Some of us don't like the way our marriages are going. We don't like where our relationships are going. We don't like where our relationship may be with bosses or employees or teachers or students or whatever it might be. Can I help you out with this for just a second? Identify and look deeply at the words you are using. And I would bet anything you'll find a correlation. Maybe you're different than I am, but I know when my words to my wife become harsh and short and frustrated, guess what seems to come out in our relationship? But when I'm loving, when I'm caring, when I speak words of affirmation, when I express to her, not just through actions, but through words, both are important, how much she means to me. You know what I find our relationship has in it? All those beautiful things. It's a guidance system. Where is your tongue taking you? Because for some of us, we have forgotten the weight of our words and we've forgotten how they direct us in so many ways. But this morning, knowing those things, I want to give us some application. I want to give us some things, because here's the deal. When we comes to the fighting and the things that we do, and I'm talking about the good fights. I'm talking about the fights for the true faith. Our words are very important in those things. And sometimes it's easy to forget. So this morning, to kind of close this morning, I want to give you four ways that you can use your words like a warrior. Four ways you can use your words like a warrior. Now listen, I've already talked a little bit about other words other people have said, and I'm not trying to belittle that and the pain and the things that come about that, but this morning, really what I want to talk about is the words that you use, the words that you speak, the words that you control that come out of your mouth. So four ways to fight and use your words like a warrior. Number one, you need to speak in faith. Speak in faith. Now, I'll be honest with you, I am horrible at this one. I am not good at this one at all. I have the mentality a lot of times, and I think you probably could get this from me, that I'm kind of the type of person, I want to tell you how it is. I'm going to be blunt to an extent sometimes. I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to tell you the way it is. And here's the thing. Sometimes that's appropriate, and other times it isn't. And the Lord has really been convicting me of this and trying to help me grow in this area, because some of us, that's kind of where we're at. We're just going to tell you the reality. This is the truth. And then we'll hide behind, man, I'm just being real. I'm being authentic. I'm not trying to kind of make you understand something else. I'm not trying to butter you up or whatever it might be. I'm just telling you the way it is. And God said, you know, Aaron, there may be some areas in your life you need to make changes on. And I said, God, what do you mean? I don't understand. He brought me to Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, I'm going to give you a little background before we get into it. The Israelites are getting ready. Man, they're excited. They're going to head into the promised land. And they send out some spies to scout it out, to see what this land is really like, because they want to know. And so these guys go out. They come back. And in Numbers 13, starting with verse number 27, they basically give a report of what they have found. This is what they say. Listen to me with me. Numbers 13, starting with verse 27, we'll read to 28. This was their report being the spies, to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. They literally bring grapes that are just massive. I mean, this is just an amazing display. But, there it is, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Achan. Now, I want you to stop for just a second, and Linda, would you leave that up there for just a minute so we can all see it? Maybe you got your Bible in front of you either way. But here's what's interesting about the report of these spies. You know what they just did? They told it the way it was. It was a land full of milk and honey. It was bountiful. It was great. But you know what? There were people living there that were powerful. They did have large and fortified cities. One of those is Jericho. You remember Jericho? And the absolute thickness of their walls. They could run chariots around, and they were so thick, is what Scripture tells us. There were giants in the land. They were telling it the way it was. And they weren't necessarily wrong. Now, I didn't say they were wrong in their attitude, but they weren't necessarily wrong in what they reported. This was true. But there were two others who decided to speak a little bit differently. Look at it with me. Jump to verse number 30, Numbers 13, 30 through 31. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Listen to what he says. Let's go at once. Man, I'm glad that Josh and Megan named Caleb Caleb. That's a great biblical name. I hope Caleb grows up to be like this Caleb and his mom and dad. But you know what I mean here. He says, let's go at once and take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. We can take them, is what he's saying. We got this. We got this. And he continues on and so on and so forth. But listen to what he says. There's verse 31. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. Now here's the deal. Part of verse 31 is true and part of it isn't. They were stronger, but they weren't with God's help. And what was Caleb, what was Joshua doing here? Number one, they were speaking, but they weren't necessarily speaking from where it was in the moment. Because here's the deal. You don't see Caleb and Joshua going, no, 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 no. That's not true. There weren't giants in the land. No, 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 no. The cities, oh man, they're just little shacks, and the people there, they have toothpicks for weapons. No, 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 no. They didn't do that. They didn't say that what the spies had reported was wrong. They simply spoke from a place of faith, and instead of saying what it was, they basically said what it could be. You see, I have that tendency. I look at a situation, I logically go through it in my mind, and I say, okay, God, here is where we are. Here is the reality of the finances. Here is the reality of the situation. Here is the reality of the relationship. Here is the reality of the bank account. Whatever it might be, and I stay there, and I forget that I have a God who can do greater things than I could ever hope or imagine in every situation in my life. And instead of having the mindset that says, you know what, you're right, I can't, but God can, I stay where I'm at, I don't speak out in faith, and instead I tell it the way it is. Listen, instead of telling it like it is, how about we start telling how it could be in faith? How about we start saying, you know what, I understand where we are now. But one, I just know the amazing things that God can do. Some of us look at our life and our relationships, and instead of speaking out in faith, we speak out in our reality. And we miss what God could have. And here's the deal. Listen, I get it. You know, I mean, this is expressing my heart for a second. You know why it's so hard for me to speak out in faith? I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong. I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong. I don't want to do that because what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? You know what I've learned? The bigger wrong is not speaking out in faith versus the wrong that maybe I don't always quite understand all that God is doing because His ways are higher than my ways. But for some of us, to speak like a warrior, first thing we need to do is stop looking at it and stop speaking it the way it is and speak about what it could be with the power of God. We look at our world today and it just seems like it's in shambles and it's confused and problematic and all these things. And I don't know about you, but I know I've been here and I'm like, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but you know where I'm at? God, just come take us out of this mess. And I've forgotten that God wishes that none should perish and that God can do great and mighty things still in our world today. And that He wants to. That He wants to do great things in your home and in your life and in this church. We don't always know what He wants to do. And I don't always know if it's important that we do. But I think it's important that our words speak in from a place of faith that says, God, I don't know what you got planned, but I know it's going to be awesome. It's going to be important. It's going to change my life and the lives of people I love and care about. So yeah, God, this is where we are. But God, I say, will you help us to be like Caleb and say, you know what, let's go take it now. Because he saw a greater understanding than the spies that didn't. Number two, speak life over yourself and others. Speak life over yourself and others. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12, 14 basically tells us this. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Ephesians 4:29. This is what it says. It's a great thing for us to remember. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Again, Linda, let's keep this up here because I want to dissect Ephesians 4 a little bit more. Okay? As Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he's expressing this to them. And he's saying, listen, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. We get that. We kind of understand that. But he continues on here. And this is sometimes the part of the verse that we can miss because we have a different understanding. This is why Paul is writing it to us and so that we can get this. He says, but only what is helpful. Now, if he left it there, I would be much happier. Because you know what that means? I kind of get to decide what's helpful. Listen, hear me here. You know, sometimes when I'm trying to speak blessing, instead I speak curses. And you know why that is? Because I think I know what's helpful to them. I think I know what's going on in their life, and so I'm just going to help them. Paul says it's helpful for building others up, and then there's even a little bit more, according to their needs. So here's what I've learned. If I want to do the best job of this, I have to have a deep enough relationship with people that I understand their needs first. See, a lot of us, we just want, man, we come in like a bowl in a china shop. I know what you need. I know what you understand. Whoa, I almost fell off. And we just go at them. But we don't really know what they need. We don't know what they've experienced. We don't know the lenses that they're seeing, the situation that they're faced with in this moment. And it's not there to benefit you. It's there to benefit them. So we talked about our words and what we say. So listen, when you feel like you need to go talk to somebody about something, you open up your Bible, you go to Ephesians 4:29, you ask yourself these questions. Number one, is it helpful to build them up? Am I building them up? Am I edifying them? Number two, is it according to their need or my need? Because here's what I've learned. I'll say a lot of things because it makes me feel better. I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm going to tell you where I'm at. You know why? I don't care if it hurts you. I make me feel better. Number three, so that it benefits them in their need and in the season that they are in. And we struggle with that. And it's hard. And here's the deal. I'm learning this better with my son. And I'm still not perfect at it. And I still have to work hard on it. Because here's the thing. I will go into my son's room. And I will have this type of an attitude. See if you sometimes match like this. Whether it's with your child or your spouse or whoever else. And you will come in and you will walk into a situation or a conversation with this, I am here to tell you what you need to hear. And I will be so focused on helping him understand what he needs to hear that I have forgotten a very important part of this equation. You see, here's the deal. This should be easier for us. We are children of light and life. That's what God has called us to. So why is it so difficult to speak life? I think this is the answer. So many of us are dialed into what we think we need to say, not what others need to hear. You know, I walk into my son's room, and I got to make sure he's prepared for the world of sixth grade life. And so I'll come in, make sure you do this, make sure you act this way, make sure you handle these situations. And I will sit there and listen, those are not necessarily things he doesn't not need to hear. But I don't know if that moment he just needs to hear those things. There are things also that he needs to hear me say. And so God has convicted me and said, hey, listen, when you're sharing all these nuggets of wisdom, make sure you don't just share what you think they need to hear, but what they really need to hear. And so God has convicted me. So it's like when I'll have those talks, I try really hard. I don't always do it well, but I'll always try to look at him and say, you know, but you need to know something, Easton. I love you. And I'm proud of you. Yeah, there are things you need to understand. Yeah, there's areas we all need to grow. But I have found that more than my little wisdom nuggets of how to live life, my son needs to hear me say those words to him that are affirming, that are for his benefit. Because you know what we tend to do? He tends to get smaller and smaller and smaller because he starts thinking, these are all the things that dad thinks I'm either not doing or can't do. Some of us need to understand that and make sure that we're speaking life over ourselves and others. Number three, Number three, I need to hurry, I'm sorry. Number three, control your speech as you would a deadly weapon. You see, for some of us, man, our words and our speech, I mean, it's, you know, it's like going back to the old Westerns that I watch sometimes. It's, they ride into town, and they're just shooting the guns up in the air. There's no control. There's no, because here's the thing I always think about. Maybe this is my really stupid logical brain. Listen, I know it's a TV show. I know it's not real. But I literally am like, you know, those bullets are going to fall down. They're not just going to keep going. Eventually, the bullets are going to come back down. And you know what? They're going to hit somebody. That's stupid. So that's what I think. I mean, they're shooting blanks, you know, but I'm, you know, very logical. But that's the way we sometimes work with our words. Man, we ride into town, we ride into home, and it'll... And we forget sometimes those bullets are going to hit somebody. And in fact, sometimes in those shows, I remember a Gunsmoke episode, they do, and it kills somebody. Look at Proverbs 26. I've always loved this verse. Proverbs 26, 18 through 19. It says, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, I was only joking. Some of us, we look at our words and we, like, listen. Like, if we would be a little more careful with what we say, it'd make a huge impact. But most of us, man, we're just kind of like that guy that rises into town. We need to be more aware of the words we say because the words that we say, as Scripture has told us, and if we looked at, can literally be deadly. Look what Psalms in 141:3 encourages us to remember. It says, set a guard over my life, over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Listen, some of us, man, we need to set a guard, and it needs to be the Lord. Over what we say and over our mouths. Because some of us, it's so easy to forget how deadly, but also how life-giving our words can be. You see, what we need to do is a guard is placed someplace, not to keep everybody out. Do you realize that? Like, a guard isn't put there to keep every single person out. A guard is put there to keep certain people out. You see, when we're asking the Lord to guard our heart, our mouth, we're not asking Him to make us silent and mute. It's asking Him to keep the words of death and curses from coming out, but allowing the words of life and affirmation and care and love to come forth. And so when we can do that, those words become even more life-giving. Because they're coming from a place of a pure heart. Number four, last one. We use our words to monitor the condition of our hearts. We use our words to monitor the condition of our hearts. Listen, Luke 6:45, very famous verse, but a very powerful verse. Luke 6:45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. It's as plain and as easy to understand as anything. What is here will come out here. Now, you may be able to keep that under wraps for a while, but it will definitely come out. In a lot of ways, words are a thermometer that indicate your spiritual condition. When you are speaking death and bitterness and anger and curses and all those things, you know where they're coming from? From here. They're coming from here. And when our hearts have been changed, and there is a joy and a peace and a love and a mercy and a grace, those things come out here. And so I'm challenging you and me that when the words come out, we take a step back and go, wait a minute, where did that come from? It came from here. God, help me to change this. Listen, some of us, we understand that our words are not what they need to be. We understand that we're speaking death, but we don't always know what to do about it. We always kind of after the fact, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, or I'm sorry, the person I spoke to. We make excuses. Well, I just have a temper, or you know, I'm just bad in this area. But we never allow the Lord to do what the Lord needs to do. And for some of us, it's just because we don't know what to ask for. We don't know what to do in these moments. I'm giving you the key right now. Pay attention. You and me and everybody else that needs this, because I definitely do. To change our words, we have to let God change our hearts. Some of us pray, God, change my words. God, change my words. God, change my words. And we're shocked that nothing changes because we're asking God to change the wrong thing. You see, God doesn't want to just put a Band-Aid over a bullet wound. He wants to get to the source and heal the source. Your words are coming from a heart that is hurting, that is broken, that is bitter, that is angry, that has unforgiveness. And so those things are naturally going to come out. And so we'll say, God, just change my words. And God says, no, I want to do something so much better, so much greater. I want to change you from the inside out. And when I change your heart, everything that flows out of your mouth will be different. Are we perfect in that? No. Even if we have a heart that God's changing, will our words come out sometimes wrong? Yes. But some of us need to allow God, we got the operation wrong. We go to the great physician and we say, God, will you just give me a mouth transplant? And God says, nah. I want to give you a heart transplant. And that can change everything. One of the greatest examples of this as we close is found in Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, we see the call of the prophet Isaiah. He's an amazing prophet, shared some very hard things, but also some very beautiful things. He prophesied a lot about the Messiah. We talk a lot about Isaiah at Christmas time because of that, but also he shared some hard things. And in Isaiah 6, we see his calling. We see this moment where God calls him into his ministry. And here's the deal. Just so you know, we all have callings. Now, your calling may or may not be like my calling, but every single one of you have been called. Okay? So don't sit here and go, well, that's for the prophets, or that's for the pastors, or that's for this person. No, this is for everybody. Okay? This is for all of us. But let's look at it together. Isaiah 6, we're going to start with verse number 5. In this story, give you a little context. Isaiah is in the Lord's temple. He's having a vision of the Lord and just an amazing scene. He's seen some amazing, amazing things. Many of you know about it. You can read about it, the first part of Isaiah 6. But starting with verse number 5, Isaiah responds. He says, then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. Listen to what he says. He says, I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Man, what a great story. What an amazing moment for Isaiah. But I want you to notice how this takes place, the timing and the steps. You see, first, Isaiah has an encounter with the Lord, and it's an amazing encounter. And because of that great encounter, Isaiah understands something about himself. He understands that he's not worthy, that he has sin in his life, that he speaks words that he shouldn't, and he lives among a people that should that have the same types of issues. And now he's a little bit concerned, and rightly so. And then in this story, the angel comes and he gets a coal from the altar and he touches his lips. And in that moment, it's a symbolizing thing of that fire kind of purging him. Again, this is Old Testament from that. And after those things have taken place and not before, we come to verse number 8. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here am I. Send me. And he said, yes, go. You see, for some of us, we have this desire to do things for God. We've had maybe an experience with him, and he's helped us see where our lives are. Maybe as we looked a little bit earlier about, we've allowed that to kind of show us the condition of our hearts, and yet we've had a desire to be used by him, but we just feel like we never can quite get going. We never can totally be used in the way that we want to be used. In Isaiah's case, and I believe in many of ours, I think we're missing a very important step. You see, I believe God wants to transform our mouth so we can accept and fulfill his call on our lives. You see, listen, if you want to be the mouthpiece of God, you better make sure that your mouth is quiet and his mouth and his words are coming forth. And that can only happen with something that God can only do. And what's wonderful about being in this New Testament age is we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness, not from a coal on an altar, but by a Jesus who hung on a cross so that we could be made new. You see, so many times in the Old Testament, I have a thing hanging in my office. God talks about changing our hearts and his desire to do so, so that our words can also be transformed. And we see the fulfillment of that in what Jesus did for you and for me. Some of us, God has a call on our lives, and we can't figure out why we're not operating in it. And I would say to you, maybe this morning, the thing you need to look at with the help of the Holy Spirit is what condition is your mouth, and therefore what condition is your heart. You see, I've often thought, if God had shown Isaiah his glory and asked who would go, I don't think Isaiah would have done so. I think Isaiah would have been like, no, I'm not worthy. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do those things. But God, in his ultimate knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, said, you know what? I'll show you my glory. And I'll heal your heart and your mouth. Now will you go? Now will you go? Now will you take this mouth that I've transformed and speak my good news to people you come in contact with? Will you be a person that speaks life over yourself, life over others, or will you be a person that speaks death and curses and anger and bitterness? So many times when it comes to our words, we're kind of like that madman. We're running in, we're shooting it off. We don't understand, or maybe we do, and we just don't care the damage that we can do. You see, here's the deal. I mean, this whole series is about fighting. It's about fighting the good fight for the true faith. And for some of us, as we talked about earlier, we are in some major, major, major league fights. And I'm just going to be honest with us. Let's just be honest. There's some of us in this room, and there's some of us online. Man, we are professional verbal assassins. And we look at those fights, and we don't look at wanting to have reconciliation or healing. We want to win. We want to make sure they hurt as much as they hurt us or whatever. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, this whole series is about fighting the good fight for the true faith. You're fighting, but you're fighting the wrong battle. And ultimately, you're going to lose. You are going to lose. But God wants to change our hearts, so that he can change our words, so that he can use us in great and mighty ways. Not to just speak life into these fights that we have verbally, but so that we can change those through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're having those disagreements with. You look at our world today, and you look at the infighting of churches and people in the church. You see the infighting, or the outfighting maybe is a better way to put it, of people outside the church and all these types of things. And it's sad because you know what it indicates? It indicates there's a lot of people in the church that ought to know better that have some pretty ugly hearts. And just before you think I'm throwing rocks at you, guess who also speaks some pretty dumb cursing things? It's me. There's still things that I have to do that God needs to do in me to help me with my words. What God wants to do this morning, I believe, is help us understand how to win those fights. And it's not by destroying the opponent. It is instead by loving those that curse us. It is by looking at those that hate us and expressing love and concern and a desire to see them either experience the healing that they need or experience the love and the grace of Jesus for the very first time. You see, here's the deal that you need to understand and I need to understand. I'm going to get to heaven one day and God's not going to look at me and say, okay, Aaron, let's see how many arguments you won. Let's see how many people that didn't believe in me you put in their place and made them look silly with your arguments. He is going to look at me and say, how many people did you tell about me? How many people did you love with your words and your actions? How many people that expected you to treat them poorly, but instead you were like the Samaritan who reached down and banded their wounds up and put them on your donkey and took care of them? That's what he wants to know. Some of us are tallying the wrong scores. And a lot of it comes from a heart that quite honestly at times can be very far away from the heart of our Father. So this morning, here's the deal. We're going to close. I know I've been a little long. I apologize. But we're not going to pray for our words. We're not going to pray that our words change, that we say the right thing. But we are going to pray for our hearts and that God would transform them and make them more and more and more like His. Because I truly believe that as God changes our hearts, our words will naturally reflect that. So here's the deal. It's real simple, okay? This is real simple. I not every time do I do kind of one of these moments at the end to reflect and to respond where I go, maybe there'll be a couple. Like, I'm just going to, I love you, and I'm just being honest. Like, man, we all need this. We all need, Lord, to change our hearts a little bit more so our words are a little bit more seasoned with salt and light. We all need this. So with that in mind, again, we're just going to close here in prayer. Would you all just stand as kind of a declaration of, you know what? I want my words to be better. I want my heart to be changed. Maybe you do this well 98% of the time, but God says, you know what? I'll get you up to 99. I'll get you up to 100. You just keep working at it because our words are that vital. And if that's you and that's what you want to have a life and a heart change that in turn changes the words you speak, I want you to pray with me as I pray over you. I want you to call out to God. And here's the deal. Listen, I'm going to ask you, don't pray that God changes your words. Pray that God changes your heart a little bit more. Because if He does, and He will, your words will be changed as well. And not just your words, but your actions and every part of your life. That's what I want. And I hope by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's what you want as well. So pray with me. Father, we love you. And God, you in so many ways, Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs and the Psalms, in parables and teachings and letters, in so many ways, throughout the treasury of Scripture, you have talked about our tongue. You've talked about the mouth. You've talked about our words and how our words can be so powerful, how they can bring death and life, how they can steer our emotions and our life and so many other parts of us. And Father, for some of us, we are in battles and we are in fights, and they are not fights of physical strength or physical ability, but they are literally a fight of words. And Father, for some of us, we have been in these fights, and some of these fights, Father, are fights that we're having with ourselves. It's not necessarily fights we're having with others. Like, we're fighting ourselves. It's an internal battle that's going on. And Father, it's so easy for us to look at the words that we say, understand their weight, understand their direction, and just simply go to you and say, okay, God, change my mouth. God, just help my mouth. But God, time and time and time again, that isn't enough, because you've told us before what comes from our heart is going to come out of our mouths. And so, Father, for me this morning, what I'm praying for me and for us, for every individual that's here, everyone that's online, Father, will you change our hearts again? Yes, for many of us, you've saved our hearts. You're dwelling among us. But in this plate, God, you are still working. You are still transforming. You're still regenerating things in us. And so, God, I pray that in our hearts today, there would be another change. There would be another shift. There would be another metamorphosis. And that a little bit of Aaron would go away and a little bit more of Jesus would come through. So that the words that I say are not words that come from Aaron, but they come from you. Because Jesus, you are the ultimate, ultimate life speaker. God, in the very beginning, you spoke and there was life. In John 1, we see Jesus, you compared to the Word. And in the beginning was the Word, and there was life in that. And so, Father, when we speak life, we're just acting like our dads. But when we speak death, when we speak lies, anger and bitterness, we're speaking like someone else. And it's the enemy of our souls, who's the father of all lies. So in some ways, we're always going to speak like whoever our father is. And God, I pray today for me and for all of us that you would transform us to speak a little bit more like you. Yes, our actions are important. Transform those. Transform our words. But do that through the transformation of our hearts, so that when we fight battles, we don't fight like the world fights. We instead fight with hope and faith and love and goodness and kindness and patience and self-control. Let those words be the words we fight with when we fight the good fight for the true faith. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen, don't forget, okay? Sign up out there for the marriage conference. Please make sure before you walk out, if you're going to be attending, get that signed up. If you sign up and then you have more people that are going to come, sign up again for them later. Just make sure you sign up. Have a great week. I hope I see you at prayer on Wednesday and community groups on that are coming up. Love you. Talk to you soon.